Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello. How's everyone doing? This is Chris Brown and Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Feel free to call in 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. This is your show. Call in with your questions, your testimonies, your comments. Maybe it's about money. Maybe it's about relationships. Maybe it's about leadership. However we can manage this life God's way and for His glory. And of course, you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That is our website, stewardship.com, and that's where you can find anything that we talk about in this show. Now, I do want to give you a very Merry Christmas. What? Did I just say Merry Christmas on November 6th? Yes, because we're launching Christmas today at Ramsey Solutions. It is coming soon, and we've got a huge announcement that we want to tell you on this show. But we're going to tell you a little bit later. You don't want to miss that. Again, the phone number is 866-357-3283. And we already have a call on the line. This one's from Charlotte. This is Val. Val, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing very, very well. How can I serve you?
Well, Chris, I'm paying a stupid tax, as Dave Ramsey would say.
Uh-oh.
I did a really stupid thing. And I need you to help me figure out what to do.
All right. On this show, we say not so brilliant.
Not so brilliant. Okay.
Oh, I'm just being funny. All right. So what'd you do?
I actually co-signed for a car, and I know I'm not supposed to do that.
Uh-huh.
But I did it a couple of years ago, and now the person is taking the car to Florida and stopped making the payment.
Who is this person?
So on top of that,
Who is this? Don't give me a name, but who's this person in your life? Is it a brother or?
It was a good friend.
Okay, a friend. And what's their reasoning? What's their reasoning behind not paying?
Well, they were they lost their job, and then they were doing some contracting work, so they had money coming in, but they just weren't paying. They were just making excuses about why they couldn't pay.
Okay, so it sounds to me like a responsibility or a character issue.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, anyway, I also found out that the car loan is upside down, so it's not a matter of even getting the car and selling it.
Yeah.
Because it's really upside down.
Yeah.
My question is, with the person in another state and me trying to make the payment, which is really hard on me right now, should I let the car be repossessed or continue to make the payments on the car even though they're enjoying it in another state?
Well, let's take the other state out of the equation. That's a variable. It's not necessary.
Okay.
Well, you definitely should not have it repossessed because here's the reason why. When you signed that document, what you were saying was your signature actually meant this. It meant if they don't pay, I will. And so that's exactly the scenario. So it's time for you to pony up. That is not what you wanted to hear. But that's what your signature represented. However, I wouldn't pay for a car that I wasn't going to be able to use or to enjoy. So, I would either first thing I would do is I'd be all up in their grill, to make sure that they pay. I mean, I'd be relentless. When you're talking with the bank, I'd proactively speak with the bank and let them know your situation. They're very familiar with co-signing. You may get lucky, and they may be one of these organizations that really wants to help protect you and just go after them and handle it just with them only and never go to the co-signer. I would doubt it because they're not in the business of repossessing cars. They don't really want to do that if they don't have to. Mm-hmm. They want to get payment. And their best way of doing that is through you. But you could get, I've heard it several times where they never went after the person who co-signed. So I would just proactively talk with the bank, but I would also try to get the car, get it in your possession, and you enjoy it. I wouldn't pay for someone else's car. Mm-hmm. I would
How can I do that if we're both on the title?
It's going to have to be done relationally. So before the you you know, burn the bridge completely if you haven't done that already. Mm-hmm. If you've already burned the bridge and it's already gotten tense and gotten really bad, it might be one of those things. Hey, let's try to see if we can get this to work. Let's overcome our differences. Obviously, we have two different viewpoints on whether how this should get, you know, repaid or our responsibility in this. But yeah, you're responsible. That's what co-signing does. It's not good. How much is this car anyway?
Well, it's worth about $6,500, and we owe about $12,700.
Oh. Is it like a crazy interest rate? I bet you it's a crazy interest rate, too.
It's supposed to be 7%, only because of me. I mean, without me co-signing, it would have been 23%.
So when's the last time you talked to this person? And were they definitive they're not going to pay?
Last time I talked to the person, it was about 3 weeks ago. And I've texted and called and can't get a hold of her.
Mm.
She won't respond.
Have you been contacted by the bank yet?
Not really a bank.
Oh, yeah. Don't tell me the name of the company, but okay. Have you been contacted by anyone?
Yes, but they've stopped contacting me since I started making the payment.
Oh, how much is the payment?
The payment, you pay every 2 weeks. It's like $215 every 2 weeks, but it averages out to like $460 a month.
Wow.
And that was going towards my debt snowball, so now I've had to pull that out.
Wow. What's your income?
Only $50.
Wow.
$1,000 a year.
So does this person know what they're doing to you?
Yeah.
And they don't care?
Sure. It doesn't seem that way. It seems like they're just like closing their eyes to it and just in denial.
Wow.
Like it's not a problem, but there is.
Oh, I hate that this happened to you, Val. But that's the reason why we don't do these. And of course, you know that. I'm not trying to throw that in your face at all. But
right. The
only way you can get to this, to fix this, is to relationally inspire them to do the right thing. I don't even know if that, it might even be worth the $150 in gas to drive down there or something to see them face to face. I don't know. But if the bank's already calling you, that means you're on the hook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking about getting it refinanced. They can't get it refinanced because it's upside down.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So it's not a pretty situation. If you're going to be paying on it, you should have the car. So they shouldn't be enjoying it.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
I'd ask the bank if you can put it in your name. Ask them, hey, I'm going to pay for this. I'm going to do my part. This is a win-win scenario. Can you help me out?
Well, I asked if I could have it just put in my name, and they said they could not take my name off.
Yeah, without your friend's consent.
Right.
So they'd have to sell it to you. And so maybe that's the deal. Hey, listen, I'll take over these payments. I guess I have to, but I need you to sign it over to me. Would they do that?
I don't know. I can't get them to respond.
This is why we teach no partnerships in business. And again, I'm not throwing stones, Val. I'm trying to educate our listeners. But this is why we don't do partnerships in business. This is why, you know, we don't own homes together if we're not married. These are why we don't do these things. So this is what happens on the back end. So I'm glad that it's not like a $40,000 car.
Oh, my gosh.
Your best route, because you can go work a bunch of hours and pay it off. That's painful, right? So your best energy used is to keep trying to get them on the phone and get them on the line and being as kind as possible, and just try as hard as you can to win them over and get them to perform.
Okay.
I don't know what kind of value you could drop in their life besides money, but maybe it's a win-win. Mm-hmm. I just really need you guys to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, Val. That's horrible.
That's all right. No.
Yeah. I wish I had
give me some insight.
Yeah. I wish I had like a magic button I can push, but I don't.
Well, I appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you for the call. All right, folks. Well, that was a bummer. This is real life, though, right? We said this is a real life show. And we're talking about real life situations, and that's kind of real life stuff that happens. And Val just seems to have a very balanced, level head about it, too. She's not so overwhelmed where she can't cope, but she's not happy about it either. She understands, you know, that she shouldn't have made that decision, and she's owning it. And so I applaud her for that. I'm thankful for her call. I got an email here from Jared. He says, I'm a single guy and I gross $58,000 a year. I'm almost out of debt, but I'm wondering how much to save for an emergency fund. Is it 3 to 6 months of expenses or 3 to 6 months of income? As my expenses are minimal, as I only have myself to support. This is a very, very good question because I don't think I've been super clear about this. I think I just say 3 to 6 months of expenses. I say it real fast, or 3 to 6 months savings. Well, those are two different things. One's 3 to 6 months of your savings or your income. One is 3 to 6 months of your expenses. So I haven't been real clear on this. So I'm glad you asked, Jared. There's probably several people out there that are confused. And this is 3 to 6 months of your expenses, not of your income. So you want to have, you know, if you make $4,000 a month, but your expenses are $3,000 a month, you want to have 3 to 6 months of that $3,000 of expenses per month. So for that would be $9,000 up to $18,000. So that for that scenario, very good question. 3 to 6 months of expenses. All right, folks, I don't know if you're ready for the big announcement or not. I don't know if you need to pull over for this or not, but here is our big holiday announcement. Okay, here's what we're doing. We are helping you do Christmas right this holiday season by bringing you the Do Christmas Right $100,000 giveaway as part of Ramsey Solutions. All of Ramsey Solutions together is giving away $100,000 in cash and prizes this holiday season. All you got to do is go to stewardship.com and click on the Do Christmas Right $100,000 giveaway, the banner, and enter to win. That's what you got to do. Beginning today through December 21st, there will be weekly winners for all of Ramsey Solutions, for everything we're doing. So that's Dave Ramsey's show. That's my show. We're giving away $100,000 collectively. Now, you can enter once every day at stewardship.com to win. So you want to make sure you do that every day at stewardship.com. Do Christmas right this year by heading over to stewardship.com daily and signing up for the $100,000 giveaway in cash and in prizes.
This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you'd like to speak with Chris, let us know in your email or call us, and we'll make sure and get in touch with you. You can email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Let's continue now with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Our next call is from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. This is Brooke. How can I help you?
Well, my husband and I are finally at the point in our lives through the baby steps that we are ready to purchase our forever home.
Okay.
We are FPU coordinators, and we're certainly familiar with Dave's teachings, but he doesn't have a ton to say about points when buying a house, and so we just are trying to make a wise decision here. My understanding is that you're basically prepaying the interest. Mm-hmm. I know Dave is not a fan of points per se, but I didn't know if there's ever a beneficial time to buy points, and if so, how do you know if it's actually beneficial or if you should just stay away from it?
Right. Well, the key is that you said your forever home. So that's a key variable, which, you know, folks have said that all the time. And even though it's your forever home, a lot of folks will refi, you know, pretty fast. So when you refi, it kind of messes everything up. So the average mortgage in America, taking into account refinancing, paying off or selling the home, is 5.6 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you figure in the cost of capital to recoup points, is about 7 years. So based on historical data and figures, it doesn't make sense.
Okay.
I feel like what's going to make you win, especially if you're a coordinator and you're familiar with the teachings, is your intensity. I'm assuming a 15-year, right? 15-year?
Yeah. So if you're recouping the points around 7 years, but let's say, I mean, we certainly are going to be gazelle intense about paying our house off early. I don't know that we'd be able to pay it off in 7 years. I'm kind of realistically thinking maybe around 10-ish.
Yeah.
So in that case, would it make sense? Like after 7 years, we'd be on the plus side, right?
Yeah. Your big win here, though, is not the points. I feel like I feel like it's just, it's trying to, yeah, your double payments and triple payments, which I know you guys are going to do, that's where you're going to win. I mean, the points is a joke. It's like, it's, I'm trying to think of a good analogy, but it's just, it is like, it's not the point.
Yeah.
no pun intended, but I don't like you doing it. Okay. There's nothing in me that makes me feel good about that. So
yeah.
If you're looking for me to say go ahead, that's not it. What's going to win for you financially? And you're talking about, you know, where you're at financially and your mindset and where you're headed. You're talking about being worth millions of dollars.
Yeah.
So, you know, this little $400 difference, or, you know, like $800 difference, it's not moving the needle. I don't like the risk.
It only saves approximately $50 a month if we did points or didn't do points.
Yeah, which you're going to be paying more than that anyway. You're going to end up paying extra payments. Just cause I can tell by your mindset. I can tell the way you're wired.
Oh yeah, we will.
You guys are going to win, and you're going to you guys are winners financially. I mean, you're going to. So I don't like it. So
okay, all right, great. Thanks for your advice.
All right, thank you so much.
Have a good day.
Got an email here from Mary. She says, I'm looking for the biblical answer behind knowing where your tithes should go. We've moved 3 times over the last 5 years. We now have 3 churches that we feel we should be tithing to, but we've been told that we should be tithing to the church that we are members of. Over the last 4 years, we've been splitting our tithe between 2 churches. We have now found a new church, number 3. Now we're contemplating dividing our tithe between all 3 churches. But we are not sure that is right. We want to help all 3, and we love and feel a connection with all 3 of them. Can you please help guide us biblically on how we make this decision on where we tithe? It really comes down to Malachi 3:10, which I'm pretty sure you know this verse. Based on, you seem pretty educated on all this, and it says the local storehouse. It doesn't say the local storehouse is. It doesn't say in local. That's local. That's right where you're at. And if you read the Bible holistically, you see the undertone. Sometimes it's obvious and sometimes it's not, and we don't have time to break down all the verses. There is an undertone of commitment to the house, being engaged, being involved, volunteering, using your talents, your skills, and engaging in. And the Bible says also a different context, but same concept, about not liking us being lukewarm. We're either all in or we're all out. And so I don't feel like you can adequately be bought into one local church at a full level where you can really be a huge value when you're spread out among 3 churches. I personally, because I get around to a lot of churches, I have a huge respect for 4 or 5 churches primarily. I have a respect for all of them, but there's 4 or 5 that I absolutely love. And if I was in their hometown, I would be at that church. I can guarantee it. However, I tithe at my local storehouse. I tithe at 1 church. That's where God has called me and my family to attend on a regular basis. Now, there's other ones that I attend online occasionally, but I'm faithfully tithing to the local storehouse. So hopefully that helps you. If you want to give above and beyond, I've done that from time to time. And I'll send a check to some ministries and some churches that I appreciate and that I like, but it's above and beyond my tithe. The tithe is to the local, keyword, local storehouse. Again, that's Malachi chapter 3. Our next call comes in from Cambridge, Massachusetts. This is Cynthia. Cynthia, how are you doing?
Yes. I'm well. How are you, Brother Brown?
Oh, I am better every day. How can I serve you?
I am calling because I have a question on life insurance.
Okay.
I have, so I'm not sure the difference between term life and whole life. The policy that I have, my mom and dad established when I was, I believe, probably born. And the account or the policy says life insurance with interest. And looking down, there's a line that says current cash value. I just wanted to know, is that cash that I can actually use? Is this term life? Is this whole life? And what would you advise me to have after this policy? I'm assuming that this policy is all paid up for.
Yeah, that is probably, I mean, that's like I'm 99% sure that's whole life, unless you've got some kind of unique term life deal. But it's whole life. And what you want to do is when you're thinking about insurance, you've got insurance. Visualize me right here. I'm saying my left hand, I got my left hand out. And I'm saying life insurance is over here. And then on my right hand, way over there is investing. Insurance and investing, they're 2 different things. And your insurance should never be an investment. So the cash value thing, I've never gotten that. It's just, it doesn't make any sense. So what's happening is this whole life, this policy, they're probably, I'm just going to use round numbers, paying $100 a month for this whole life insurance policy, so that you can have a little bit of cash value. And so what's the cash value on it?
The cash value on this is $5,300.
Okay, so they've been paying on it for quite a while.
Yes.
Okay.
It's about $40 a month.
Okay, and the surrender, you're probably going to have, if you were to cash that out, your surrender charge would probably put that down to $3,000. You'd have a lot less, which, whatever, it doesn't matter. So who's the policy for? You, personally?
For me, my mom and dad.
Took it out for you. And how old are you?
Yes. I'm 49.
49. Do you have any other insurances?
No, I do not.
Okay. And what is the policy amount? The what does it cover?
$25,000.
Okay. Yeah. So all that's really going to do is cover your burial costs. The great thing on this is you could probably cash that out and take the $5,000 and probably pay for your first year of term. Term is a lot less expensive. Like dramatically less expensive, and then what we teach is you pay less on term insurance because it's not an investment, and so the amount you'd save, so $100 for whole life insurance and $30 for term life insurance, the $70 difference, you're going to invest the difference, because for term insurance, if you just want burial costs, first of all, if your insurance on you, do you have any dependents or are you married?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
And no dependent.
Okay. So really,
I'm going to be cremated.
Okay. So really, Cynthia, if you don't have any dependents, you really don't even need insurance because no one's depending on your income. So really, I'd cash that thing out, take your $5,000 or $3,000 or whatever they give you, and I'd invest it. Granted, if you're out of debt and you want to make sure you go through the baby steps. So if you're in debt still, you want to make sure you pay off some debt with it. But you don't need that. Just consider it a gift and thank mom and dad.
So I don't even need life insurance because I have investments. I have an IRA. I have my retirement account.
Yeah, you're fine. See, the bottom line is you're going to want to cover burial costs when you pass away. So whoever is going to be in charge of that, you're going to have investments. You're going to have something they can cash out. So they have, you know, 15 grand or 20 grand to bury you, or like you said, cremate, which would be a lot cheaper. So
Yes. You
don't even need it. So enjoy the $5,000 and put it to good work and manage it for God's glory.
Very good. I didn't even think about it that way. Not to say I don't have anybody in terms of dependents, but, you know, I give thanks.
Yeah, and thank mom and dad for that. And I think if you're planning on getting married soon, it might be wise to have a little $25,000 policy, term policy, just so you don't, if you want to do that later. But I wouldn't wait too late because at 49, you know, you can get a good rate. But if you wait too late, you're probably still going to pay an expensive rate, even term.
Excellent.
So, cash that thing out. Enjoy it.
Yep. All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Manage it for God's glory, though. Don't just blow it all.
All right. I will not. I have no intention of doing that.
All right. Thanks, Cynthia.
Thank you.
Well, folks, we are all done for today. That's today's show. Big reminder. Remember the announcement? Go to stewardship.com for the Do Christmas Right $100,000 giveaway in cash and prizes this holiday season. On behalf of all of Ramsey Solutions, that's all of our shows and all of our different programs we have going together. Collectively, we are giving $100,000 away. So you want to make sure you enter that every day to have a chance to win. How do you do that? You go to stewardship.com for the Do Christmas Right $100,000 giveaway. Make sure you enter every single day. All right, we can stay connected on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, at Chris Brown On Air. Folks, it has been a pleasure, and man, it's such an honor to be able to speak with you each and every day. If you miss the radio show because you happen to not be near a radio at that time, make sure you check out our podcast. It's on iTunes, Chris Brown's True Stewardship. You can download each episode or you can subscribe. And so we want to encourage you to do that as well. Well, until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, and for God's glory. God bless you.